Balcone's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, Spirited Conversations with Interesting People. I am your host, Christopher Hart. Now, before we jump into it, I know what you're thinking. Hold on. Don't skip ahead. Hear me out. We're not going to do any crazy ad reads today. Of course, Amroot sponsors the show. I love Amroot. I cannot wait till our pick comes in. Of course, Balcone sponsors the show. You saw that at the beginning before I started talking. We have a new sponsor coming on, Waterford. Brand new whiskey. I don't have a read yet. I don't have the samples yet. I cannot wait to taste it. I have no clue what to expect. They're on their way, and we will go from there. But getting into today. So today is a bit of a decompression. I'm joined by my friend Brandon Strange. Of course, you know him as the head of media at Gao here in ESPN in Houston. And, of course, Jeremy Hedin. Jeremy Hedin runs the Instagram account What The Kicks, a Instagram account that started off focused on shoes and is now shoes, booze, cars, vehicles. Nope, shoes, booze, guns, vehicles. He's a little bit of all of your guilty pleasures in life. Hashtag What The Kicks. Check it on Instagram, 200,000 followers. He is the reason that we got into the discussion about guns a few episodes back, probably a few months back now that I think about it. And just there's a debate about whether or not guns have a place in the booze industry or the booze hobby. And Jeremy was the root cause for this. So we do not have a big political debate today, but we dabble in it a little bit. We touch on it a little bit. But really, today was just about drinking a new whiskey to Texas, Smoke Wagon. Smoke Wagon is based out of Las Vegas, and they, of course, are your 8 to 12-year-old MGP barrels. Great product, making big waves in the bourbon world, and I haven't had any, so I invited him on today for us to try a few picks. And a good time was had. As we say in the show, a good time was had by all. Please do me a favor. We have a lot of listeners on the show. A lot of people who listen every week, and I really, really appreciate that. Do me a favor. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, whatever podcast platform you're using. Leave a review on the show. Rate and review. If you have some input about how we can make this show better, shoot me an email at khart, K-H-A-R-T, at HoustonWhiskeySocial.com. Give me what you'd like to see more. Doesn't mean we're necessarily going to do it, but I'm always open to more feedback. And of course, please, again, rate and review the show and subscribe to the show on YouTube. And without further ado, Brandon Strange and Jeremy Hedin. Cheers. For those who aren't familiar, my guest today, Jeremy Hedin, runs the Instagram account What The Kicks, and that's where you show your New Balance dad shoes and your
exactly
and your pistols.
My Air Monarchs.
Came wearing Yeezys today, so represent.
You know, I had a stunt a little bit.
Yeah. A little bit.
Just slight work.
So What The Kicks, Instagram account. How many followers are you up to right now?
I think I'm at about 170,000.
170,000.
It was a big transition dealing with the same thing I'm dealing with now in the bourbon side of it. Is it was all shoes for a long time, and I climbed over 200,000, but it was a lot of kids, a lot of family oriented.
Sure.
You know, I was hosting events and traveling, and when I finally didn't have sponsors that were, I was taking in, you know, product, I could post what I wanted. When I started posting alcohol or guns, you could see the trend start, you know,
leveling out. Yeah. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, it was up there, man.
You were doing just shoes and events, and I didn't know that side of things. I always just assumed that you were just posting guns, and that's what I've told people on the show is there's a stark audience that says that guns and booze do not belong together, And there's another audience, which we've discussed, I think, on the show, that one episode is the black audience is a bit
standoffish,
understandably so, about the idea of guns being such a prevalent aesthetic.
Exactly.
And for those watching at home, we're definitely not going to go down the another gun episode per se. Really, I'm just catching everyone up on what happened. But you've joined the Houston Bourbon Society. You jumped in. You strike me as the type of guy who jumps in head first.
I did.
And your Instagram account is now this beautiful juxtaposition of both shoes, guns, and booze.
Yep.
And that has been your whole world.
Yeah, and it's been fun. I mean, I enjoy photography, so if I can make it look good, I feel like other people will want to see the same thing. So, and I dove into bourbon head first, and it's a rabbit hole I should have not jumped into.
Well, it's been interesting because I know, like, in HBS, you got so active and then you got kind of quiet for a while. And I think what you are, and I've discussed this with our good friend Todd, is I feel like you are in a on a fast track of one of many different paths that bourbon drinkers get into. A lot of times people become lurkers. Lurker's not your thing, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. And then you get into these groups, you start finding these little sub rabbit holes, these other groups, these access to picks, these other things,
What
have you. What you have in front of you, new to Texas, has become your latest kind of obsession. Proof that guns and bourbon go together. Smoke Wagon.
100%.
Smoke Wagon Bourbon out of Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes.
So I have been wanting to say this. I've not said this. I've been waiting for this moment to say it. As popular as Smoke Wagon is, and for those who don't know the backstory, it's MGP barrels.
Yes.
In the same vein as OKC and Blaum Brothers, they got their hands on some 12-year-old, if not older, if not younger, MGP barrels, and they've become the latest trend. This is what I wanted to say. I've not had it.
Not at all.
I've never once open a bottle of Smoke Wagon. I've never once bought a bottle of Smoke Wagon. And I know people are thinking, how is that possible? It's because there's this side of this hobby that you're kind of desensitized to constantly new, and this is new, this is the hot thing, this is the hot thing.
Hype.
So I don't want to say hype, because it's not to say it's not bad. It's MGP. I am sure it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just exhausting to constantly have something new. You get you overstimulated a little bit. So when new things come out, I don't have the motivation. So I'm
How
glad.
Do you gauge that, though? Because you drink a lot of different things. Like your palate's pretty
nice. 100%.
Yeah, I am too.
So in this particular case, it's gauged along the same lines of the fact that I know it's 12-year-old MGP out of Indiana. I've had Boone County, OKI and Blaum Brothers and Pingree. I've had all of them, and they've all been great. I don't think I'm going to find something mind-blowing, but I'm excited to try them today.
It's crazy you said that, because yesterday I was out, and I was swinging my Poison Girl. Just wanted to show some love, and I went by, and I was talking about Smoke Wagon, and Brian was like, I've never had it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Just so happened to have some in the car, and we, you know, we shared a little bit, and that's crazy because it's so new. I figured the people in Houston that are into bourbon would be already on top of it. You know, I spoke to Todd. He's had a few. So that's
crazy. I mean, there's the people in Houston are on top of it. And I mean, you know, as soon as it hit, it became sold out. Everybody was just waiting on it to get distribution in Texas. And I've talked to the distributor about it when it came in. I'm very familiar with Smoke Wagon. I just have never gone out of my way to go. Yeah, I mean, like when the specs drop happened, it was downtown. It's an hour and a half drive to and fro.
Oh, yeah.
Just to get
from the south
side. Just to get a bottle of something I've similarly had. But let's jump into it. So I did bring a few things for us to pour and to drink. I want to try your Smoke Wagon. I don't think you've had any Smoke Wagon.
I have not any Smoke Wagon.
So I'm excited to let's do it. Let's pour. Let's start drinking. We've got an hour for the show, so an hour to drink sounds great. What do you think we should try first? What do you think would be the best way to go? And give me anything you got.
Well, I brought 2 8-years. I brought one of the specs so we could see what all their hype was. They had 10 barrels there, which were all pretty close. They were in the 500 barrels from 507 to 517. I brought a bottle from Chicago, which is an 8-year, and then I brought a Louisville Bourbon Hunters 12-year, which I haven't opened yet either. So we got 2 8-years and a 12-year. We see what you like.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm down.
All right. I'll hold Jeremy's mic while he's doing the bottle.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like that these 2 8-years are completely different. It's pretty dramatic.
And smells fantastic.
Aaron does a great job with these.
All right, so who's Aaron?
Aaron is the master distiller at Smoke Wagon.
Okay, I've seen.
He's a really cool dude.
I've seen the guy on Instagram because I don't know if you were in the hobby yet, but last year or the year prior, there was an issue of a stolen barrel involving Nas, Nas, yeah. So I know who you're talking about. I follow him on Twitter or on Instagram.
He's crazy, right?
Yeah. No. I don't follow Crazy Nas, but
I'm talking about Aaron. He's a hoot, man. It was really cool because I like to see somebody so outgoing on Instagram, like you were saying, like so just over the top, you know, in the way he approaches things is just so friendly and so fun, and he doesn't care. He just rolls up on, you know, in the video, and it was cool. So I reached out and we talked, and he's big into guns.
Sure.
He lives in Vegas. And
you look at him, you can tell the guy owns at least
exactly. I mean, you look at the logo, two revolvers, and that made us pretty close. So we talk now. He'll message me about new stuff coming out, or we'll talk about it, but he's just a really good guy, and it makes the product that much better. It's already good, but when it's backed by somebody that's a good character, I feel that plays a lot in it.
Have you asked him for your own barrel yet?
It's in the works. Well, I'm trying. I put my name on the list. COVID has slowed things down for him, and he's trying to get a lot of stuff done, but he hasn't been doing many private barrels. He had about, I want to say, 4 or 5 13-year barrels that he put out into the market. And other than that, I don't think he's going to do anything till the beginning of the year. But
so, what do you need help with?
I'm just waiting to get the word.
Okay.
I already know who I'm going to come to.
Okay.
You know, I'm sitting in front of him, but I just don't want to make any steps until he's ready.
Let me be clear. I'm simply, if you need help running it through any retailer or anything,
yeah.
I mean, because that's the problem is you can have the connections directly to the supplier, but if you need a retailer
to bring it in.
If you, and not only that, if there's people all over town that you want to get it access, I mean, I know you've made friends very fast in the group, split it up amongst a couple different stores like we do or whatever. Yeah. I mean, if you need help running it through someone,
thank you.
The answer is yes. I think if anyone has pushed Smoke Wagon, in Houston more than anyone else, I would say it was Jeremy.
I mean, it's good. I love it. And hopefully I can get a barrel, and I will be coming to you. And maybe we can get it out to some of the people in the group. Have fun with it.
Yeah, I don't even have to go with you. Go up to Vegas. See if he'll let you taste it in his warehouse. You know, have fun
with
it.
Vegas trip is planned.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of gun ranges out there in Vegas too, huh?
Yeah, and he actually has a big private gun range that he goes to, and it was recently shut down.
Because of COVID?
Yeah.
That seems like a weird thing because you're outdoors, right?
It's crazy. I think it's more so the people involved. Maybe some people there that are running it, they can't keep up with it due to COVID, or they're dealing with stuff with their families, stuff like that. But he did say he's working on a new location, and that was one of the things like, dang, what guns do I take with me? Do I travel with them? Do I use it? You know? But it's in the works, and yeah, I want to go out there and
did you get a pour?
Sample. I did, yeah.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
Would have been super funny if we didn't pour you and you've just been sitting just there quiet this whole time.
He's on the mic.
Well, it matches the look because I feel like I'm being I'm in the middle and you guys are having a conversation across me, so I'm just like, I can help with the microphone.
Now, Brandon, your family, man, you've been on the show almost as much as more than Jack has, right? Jack's never been on the show, so. Yes, and shout out to our producer, Jack. It's always great seeing him back in studio.
Holla, Jack. Good to have you back, because that means I don't have to do it. I have a question for you. When did you make that connection between like guns and bourbon? Because I obviously both are collectible things, and I look at you know, guns as any other, you know, thing that's a hobby and collectible, right? I mean, they're much more divisive than a lot of other things, but when did make that connection?
Well, like I was telling Chris, so when it all happened and I came into the group not knowing anybody, I was big into craft beer for a long time. I traveled for work, so I would hit up breweries and I would do all kinds of things, and I was in the craft beer scene. Well, when I decided, you know, I want to really get into bourbon, this seems like something I'd like, and I'm getting fat, let me cut these calories out.
Yeah.
But so when I jumped into the page, I needed something that I felt like I needed to post what I'm good at, like the pictures and mixing the two. And I thought, what in my head, which is, I didn't think that it was going to go so
controversially.
Yes, I didn't think it was going to go over so controversial. But what it was if I post a cool gun with some bourbon, somebody else that likes guns gonna message me or comment, and then when I really have a question, I can reach out to that guy. I can make that connection with a few people, and then they can help me through this whole transition. And it did happen that way. There was a lot of people that, you know, are also into guns that have messaged me on the side, and they were like, oh man, we should meet up. I've met up with drinks with a few people off the group. Shout out to Levi, one of the first people I met off the group.
Tatum, right?
Yeah, really cool dude. Came over, we had drinks, we talked guns, and he's been, you know, we talked bourbon. It's just, it was cool, and he's not from here, so he made a new friend. I made somebody off the group. But
it's like Tinder for...
Exactly, but you don't have to swipe left or right. So when I put it on there, it was more so to draw in people to see where we were. I was gauging interest and see if Chris was, you know, into him. Then I could talk to, hey man, this and this, and I'll help you with this if you can help me, you know.
Sure.
So and it worked. It worked in the benefit, and I was pretty upset when I spoke to Chris about it went over, so because I didn't want it to go that way. That was not my intent at all.
For those who don't know, the largest private single market group in the U.S., HBS, here in North America, 10,000 people, you're going to have the full spectrum of political beliefs. In the bar scene, they're very left-leaning, anti the things that the right loves, right? That's the whole idea of the spectrum. So when Jeremy joined, he had posted some photos of nothing dangerous, although there is a belief that guns and bourbon together is inherently dangerous. I disagree. two inanimate objects next to each other are not a recipe for disaster. Drinking and playing with guns can be a bit of a disaster.
Correct.
But anyway, so he had posted some photos of some guns next to some booze. There was a very loud uproar from some people who were very upset and felt like it was a political stance.
How many people would you say? Because I remember hearing of it, but like I
dozens,
not a part of the group. So.
Dozens.
Yeah, out of 10,000.
Yeah, maybe. But here, that's the thing: is the vocal minority.
Right?
Yeah. So the I would say that if you were to poll the group, the out of people answering the poll, I would say you would probably find a pretty down the middle. Like, let's say 500 people voted. 2 to 250 would be for the posts and the same against, but it would be very opinionated beliefs on both sides.
Sure.
So Jeremy just said, look, I wasn't trying to ruffle any feathers. It's just, and so we had to explain that there is an aesthetic, right? People love cigars, accessories. Mm-hmm. People love women and cars. Like, there's the juxtaposition of the things that you like, the hobbies you like, next to other hobbies that you like. Meat is a big part. Meat,
aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, there are a couple of groups that are big on meat next to booze.
Yes. Knives.
Yeah, like knives. Said. Great. Yeah. So we just had to explain to them that, no, this actually, this does exist. This whole subworld exists. A lot of people had taken the stance that that it is inherently off-putting to African-American members because they can't share that hobby. Mm. In which Jeremy said, look at me.
Right.
Yes, it's hard to tell. But yes, I'm half black, half white, and a lot of my family, half of my family being black, we all share the same. And some do and some don't.
Sure.
But I don't make it a race thing. And to me, I don't see that at all.
Did HBS lose member or like followers because of that?
I'm sure we have, but I don't care.
Okay.
I feel like, and I try very hard to convey my objective middle of the road, like, let's look at everything with a clear perspective and then make a judgment.
Oh, you sound like a dirty, dirty centrist.
But uh-oh. I think sometimes people perceive that as me not being able to make a decision or towing the line. They're like, no, like, the racism,
it's not.
Yeah, exactly. Racism is bad. This is bad. That's bad. Like, we can weed out the things that are bad. But
there's such a thing as nuance.
Nuance. Thank you. Absolutely. 100% agree with you. So while I do understand it could be off-putting to some, someone said, well, what if, you know, I had a family member that accidentally got shot or something. I said, okay, well, I'm sorry. I hate to say trigger warning, but no pun intended, but like, you know, be aware.
Right.
And but accidents happen.
Yeah, accidents. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, if, listen, there was a guy that joined the group that said he doesn't drink. Well, why are you in the group? What are we doing?
Want to see booze and guns.
So I get the concern, but it's simply put, there is a whole world out there of 200,000 followers following Jeremy that do like the aesthetic of both shoes and booze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoes and booze.
Yeah.
Guns and booze. You should never wear shoes and
drink
booze.
Is that URL taken? You should buy that domain right now. Shoes and booze.
I'm gonna Google it.
He said. So Chris says that your response to it was immediately like, "Oh, I didn't mean to." And you said that too. I didn't mean to cause this. What was your thought on that when you heard that? Because did you said like, "I didn't even think there was going to be that kind of thing. I just was trying to network and connect with people who were like minded." So what was your response to that when you saw that backlash?
I figured. Well, the way I look at Facebook or any other social media platform, if I see something I don't like, I just scroll by it.
You just keep moving.
Just keep it moving. Because
that is a novel concept. Tell me more about this.
The only thing to me is that if I'm looking for drama, then I will go for it. If I don't want it, I will keep it moving. And so I can't expect everybody to have the same mind thought, you know, the thought process that I do. But so I figured the people that liked it may not even say nothing. They may just hit the like button, or they would message me privately, or we would have a conversation like, oh, what gun is that? Or even about the booze. Some people may have not seen the bottle, like it was a store pick, and asked questions, but it didn't go that way. So
no.
It was kind of
soft. A lot of people were not – some people made the connection that it was a Trump thing. And I said –
I heard
that. It's a very interesting connection you're making. Here and this is what I think, and going back to what we talked about last week we had this episode where we discussed the whole Jim Murray sexism thing, and there is something I wanted to say that I went back and listened, I didn't say it, and I think it's because you shouldn't talk before the podcast, and we had a meeting before the podcast in which we engaged just to make sure
we went over it.
So then when you're filming the podcast, you forget what you said.
Because you've already said it.
Yeah, because should I say this now? Oh, I already said it. Did I say it on camera? Did I say it before? What I wanted to say last week was that...
woman's place is in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Come on, Chris.
Perfect.
I wish you had done that.
Perfect setup. Mark Norman's here today, guys. Oh, Mark Norman, God. Ladies and gentlemen. No, you owe it to progress. And this is for everybody watching, regardless of where you lie. You owe it to progress to be accurate and specific and truthful in the things that you attack. Because the moment you have any fodder, any fluff, any, what do they say, chaff, anything that has no substance, that is what the other side's going to cling to and push back against. And then all of a sudden, you're lost in the mire. You're lost in the sauce.
Yep, lost in the sauce, baby. Lost in the sauce.
This conversation around guns, I get it. If it makes you uncomfortable, I can't disagree with you. But it is not a political stance in support of Trump. And by making such ridiculous comparisons, you're only hurting your progress.
Yeah, you undermine your position.
You really do
when you make ridiculous connections like that.
Exactly. You're just fishing. You're reaching.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure there are people that love guns and love Trump.
And I'm sure there's people that love guns and hate Trump.
Oh, for sure.
So, I mean, it goes both ways.
Absolutely.
If it was going to be a Trump post, it'd be a Trump post.
We wouldn't allow that.
Exactly.
Because we don't do politics in the group, yeah.
Exactly. That's what that's your call, and that's why, when I reached out and messaged you, let you know that that wasn't it. And I didn't know the rules either. You know, I didn't know.
We have defended you like you would not believe behind the scenes. We've been big Jeremy fans. I know that wasn't your intention. It's just hard to manage a group that size. That's all.
It is.
Everyone likes to assume different intentions.
Walks of life from everybody. Everybody, ages, groups, races, everything. So I get it.
Yeah, it's not easy being in the middle politically minded. It's just as not easy being in the middle, being half and half. Like you mentioned, we have a daughter who's half Hispanic, half white. And at school, we talked about this, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. At school, she doesn't fit into the crowd that's all Hispanic. And with her white friends, she's just Hispanic. She's still,
exactly.
So there's like, there's no matter what she does, and then you pull up and you've got your white mom and your pink dad, and you're like, you know, what's going on? How's the connection?
How's that happen?
It's such an unfortunate aspect of our society, but I would much rather be in the middle and beg for reason and like beg for reasonable thoughts than to be on either side of the extreme and just ruin society further.
Yeah.
Anyways, we don't normally get into politics. Let's pour the next one. I'm excited to get to the next bottle. And then, of course, I got to get some handy. And I actually went up to Balcones this past weekend. I'd love to talk about this bottle. So Balcones this past weekend. Let's do this. Let's taste this first because this will give us a nice little palate cleanser before doing the other one. But we went up there to go pick out some barrels over with our good friends over at Balcones. And we, like we always do, we rent a house and we invite everyone to it after for a bottle share. And, you know, everybody brings dusty bourbon, some old bottles. This is an old bottle of the 70s. This is the world's only charcoal distilled whiskey, bourbon supreme, straight bourbon whiskey. For those of you who believe that Jack Daniel's cannot be called bourbon because of charcoal filtration, I present to you, you're wrong. But what's interesting about this is everyone has been trying to solve why old bourbon was better. Dusty bourbon is a massive market right now. And I had a very interesting conversation. I won't say with who, but I just kind of leaked it a little bit.
I've been looking for a birthday bottle. A birthday year bottle.
No, this is lower proof, but dusty bourbon is the realm of obsession, right? Oh, old ND, old Stitzel Weller, all these old bottles go for crazy amounts of money. And it turns out that somewhere in the mid-80s, they outlawed a part of the fermentation process within, and this is for the nerds listening. The way you make bourbon now, you put the mash bill in, you add the yeast and the grain, and you convert starches, you know, to alcohol.
Yeah.
Right. So now we've been trying to figure out why has bourbon gotten worse? Right? Four Roses or any bourbon maker now isn't making as good a bourbon as Stitzel Weller did in the 80s, right? So what happened? And it turns out that in the 80s and before, they were using fertilizer as their yeast component. And you were getting the yeast that was within the fertilizer, as well as all the negative, harmful, poisonous, horrible things. And when they outlawed using fertilizer in the distillation process, all of a sudden bourbon. It was around the same time that, of course, Wild Turkey has now switched to stainless steel tanks versus cypress fermenters. There's been a lot of debate over old growth oak versus new growth oak. And it turns out that it's illegal to try, but the solution may simply be the fact
that they use fertilizer.
That they use fertilizer to make bourbon back in the day. So cheers to your glass of shit whiskey.
Yeah. That's right. That's why lead paint is tasty.
Love those paint chips.
Yeah, this will be like a nice, easy lower proof.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think 86. Let's see here.
What year is that?
80 proof. It's 80 proof. 1978. Bourbon Supreme was you know, it was pretty bottom shelf back then, but it's still just solid old 70s bourbon. Get for a good price point. So I've seen on your post, you've got the full lineup of Smoke Wagon too, huh?
Yeah.
Is it all MGP?
Yeah, it's all MGP.
And for those who don't know, Midwestern Grain Products, Indiana.
Indiana.
Yeah, the I would say arguably, I think they're putting in 2,000 barrels a day.
Like, humongous.
Yeah, Buffalo Trace
humongous.
Is putting whiskey into barrels at a rate of 1,000 barrels a day. MGP is doing it at 2,000 barrels a day. Mm. Oh, no, I'll take that back. Jack Daniel's is. It's Jack, not MGP. It's Jack Daniel's. I don't know how many barrels are being laid down for MGP, but it's a lot because there's a lot of product out there.
There's a ton.
So, what do you do for a day job?
I work for Southwest Airlines, ground ops supervisor. So,
how do they feel about the gun thing? Has that ever come up in the?
They're real big on social media policy and not posting anything negative, as long as it's not, you know, targeted to one thing, like you're not being derogatory or you're not tarnishing the brand.
Sure.
So there's a lot of people in Southwest. I mean, Southwest is a humongous company. I love the company, but I've met tons of people from all over since we're in almost every damn state. But there's a ton of gun people. And we have our Southwest groups. We have, you know, Facebook groups and stuff like that. So I've met a lot of people. And it's more so they don't care if you're posting guns. Like, I'm really good friends with the social media market side of it here in Houston, who runs the Southwest platform here in Houston. And she knows my page and she loves it. But like you said, work and play don't always mix. So, but there's no problem. They're good. They know it. My boss has come to me for gun advice. I've been getting the, hey, you know where I can find ammo? Hey, do you know where every day?
Like at work?
Yeah. At work for the last 6 months since COVID started.
Sure.
You know.
All right. So we got a little bit more time. Let's try this third bottle. I want. Oh, let's bounce back. I'm going to switch to a handy.
Uh-oh.
Sound good?
Yeah. I'm trying to see what Four Roses that is.
So this Liquor Four Roses I got from Noah Jones. He hit me up this past couple weeks ago. Justin Cisneros has been holding on to it for me. Liquor Junction, OBSF, 10 years, 4 months. And I've not tasted it yet. Thought we could give it a go. Oh, baby. I don't think I've actually... I might have tasted it. Yeah, I did, because this year's social, we served the 2019. I don't remember if it was good or not.
Jeremy, you're going to have a gun booth at the social? Is that what we're going for?
Yeah, yeah. We talked about...
I'll talk to him about it after this.
That's good. You go to gun shows a lot?
I used to.
Not as much, right?
It's an early thing. They're like Walmart now.
Yeah, it's a little early thing.
Yeah, I don't like to go in them anymore.
Yeah, it's like Jim Murray's Whiskey Bible. When you first get into whiskey, you buy it, you go to gun shows, it seems like an awesome thing, then you move on past that.
Yes, I can do it. And you make friends, and then you send texts like, hey, can I get this or where can I find this? I don't want to go.
How many guns are you sitting on?
A lot.
A lot? Would you say more than 3 dozen?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm to the point where I either need another safe the same size or I need to get a bigger one, and it's been an uphill battle trying to find the one I want.
Do you have more kicks or guns?
I have more shoes. I have a whole storage unit full of shoes that I just can't fit in my room.
Southwest pays well, man.
Yeah, man.
Well, one of those flights are so...
Well, prior to Southwest, I was a crane operator for 6 years. So I saved and stacked a little bit. As being, you know, being young and making a lot of money,
You blew through a lot of money.
I blew through a lot of money not thinking about it. But, yeah, the shoe room is cool, but the guns... The thing about, I used to think, man, shoes are a great investment because I'd bought shoes and sold them for triple what I paid for them after I wore them.
Like flipping bottles.
Exactly. But the difference in guns, bottles, and shoes is the minute you open that bottle and you pour it, you're pouring the money away. Mm-hmm. The shoes, you're wearing the money away. A gun, you can literally shoot it as much as you want. The value's never going to change.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like a Glock. You buy a Glock right now, it's $500. You shoot a Glock 10 times, it's still $500. Like, it just never depreciates. It's like it's worth their weight in gold.
Well, especially now because of
right now
how high, yeah, high demand they are.
Your boy Cole. I was just thinking of your shoes and thinking of Brendan Schaub.
Man, he's a shoe guy.
He's a huge shoe guy. Yeah. And I was texting with him yesterday about this whole. Well, I probably shouldn't say, but the whole controversy of everything going around on T-Fat K. But he's going to be with your boy Coleon Noir.
On his podcast?
This week. No, I don't know if he's going to be on the podcast, but they're going shooting this week.
Oh, okay.
So he's in Dallas this week at the Edison Improv.
Yeah.
I don't know where Coleon... He's based
out of Dallas.
Yeah, out of Dallas, yeah.
He's from Houston, but
he lives
in Dallas.
Yeah, what a piece of shit, right? How do you build a reputation as the Houston gun guy...
And then move to Dallas.
And then move to Dallas. What a treacherous son of a bitch.
Yeah, and he's from Houston, like the heart of Houston. He repped it hard.
What a garbage human being. And now look at him. Why'd he go there? What's there?
I think it's a...
People to shoot.
Exactly. No, it's a lot of the big outdoor gun venues and the events are held out there. They have more outdoor ranges than we do, more private ranges, more land. And
well, it's almost like they have better weather.
Do they?
They do.
They have better weather? That difference in 5 hours? I guess that makes
sense. They have way better weather than we do. I mean, but they get snow. I don't want to snow.
Yeah, but then they have the Cowboys, right? Hey, I actually don't have a preference. I love the beef between the two cities. But he said he's going to be up there and that they're going to go shooting with Coleon. Coleon, right?
Yeah, Coleon War.
I always have a hard time.
You want to say, yeah.
Coleon? Yeah. Coleon, Colin? Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good guy, too. Yeah. He's a really cool dude. And I try and stay up on the podcast now. Like, sure. You got me on all of, like, my podcast. I wake up in the morning, it'd be like 5 a.m. It's like, new podcast. I'm like, okay, the drive to work is this. Any podcast. Yours. Like, when yours comes out, it's like, man, I have to catch up on all these podcasts.
I'm telling you.
So now I have like 30. I can't manage them all.
When I was 19, I was all about NPR. Like, when you're in college and you first feel like you're an adult and you got things figured out. Then you realize, oh, this is garbage. Like, Michael Berry and any number of the same fat white guy who's been divorced 7 times. Okay. And then we came to, when I discovered podcast, it changed everything.
Yeah, my girl always is like, that's a vast difference. Like, one day she'll get in the car and it'll be a gun podcast. Yeah. Next day it's bourbon, and then I have a cornhole podcast because I play cornhole. It's full spectrum.
What do you talk about on a cornhole podcast?
Technique, baby.
It's more so reviews and talking about regional tournaments and what went down and like the new products that are coming out and
what products.
Like, bags and boards and all kinds of stuff, man. Bags. The bags are. I mean, I'm telling you, it's like bowling. I was a bowler.
I was, too. So
my thing is, like, you would think all bowling balls are the same. No, they're not. A new bowling ball could drop today and drop December 1st, and it could be a whole new ball game. They changed it up, the urethane on them. Same thing with bags. They're different material, different resins. It's crazy. It's a rabbit hole. That's what I'm saying. I keep falling down these rabbit holes that I can't.
But do you feel like? And see, this is what I heard when
you
first
watch my water podcast. Because that'll change your life.
Yeah. But when we first started talking, like, that seemed to be something that you talked about shoes. You talked about guns. You talked about what was the other thing that you had that was collectible bourbons, right?
Yeah.
So like you seem to have. Is it because you have this personality where, like, once you latch onto something,
hopefully you don't ever get into drugs, man.
Right?
Yeah.
First person
to introduce you to cocaine is going to ruin your life.
But I'm very competitive. So any sport I get into, whether it's bowling, you know, most people are like, bowling, that's not – I'm like, I was super competitive. Mm-hmm. People would call me. I'd be out and like, you want to go bowling? I'm like, let me swing by the house and get my bag. I'm like, bro, just come. I'm like, no.
I have my shoes in my bag.
Yeah, I got my shoes in my bag. My ball at home. Like, it's the same thing. Like, cornhole. Like, I packed them up in my car now because on the way home, I may just swing by my friend's house and throw some bags. I don't know. But it is. It's like – and then when – podcast, well, YouTube did it first. You know, when you got on YouTube, you could just fall down a rabbit hole and just get into whatever you want to get into.
Sure.
Same thing with guns. Like, I got in, I would research everything. I didn't just come in blind. And now it's like podcasts. I don't have to watch it. I can be at work. I can, you know, sit at my desk.
Yeah.
On the way to work, I try and crush one every day. Like, I'm mad when they're longer than 40 minutes. I'm like, oh, man, I'm not going to be able to finish it when I, you know, because my drive to work is 41 minutes.
So I listen to Rogan's, and some of them are 3 hours long, and you've got to, like, some of them are 5 hours long. It takes you a week
3 days.
To get through.
Yeah, like, I can't get through Rogan.
I can get
through. The one he just did with Post Malone was 4 hours?
I watch all of it though.
You get the idea after 20 minutes. 20 minutes, you get the idea.
I feel bad for that guy because Charlemagne and them gave him such a hard time about cultural appropriation.
Charlemagne is trash.
But you watch,
I threw you off.
Yeah. You threw me off. You watch Post smoke through a pack of like the shittiest cigarettes.
Yes.
And crush a 12 pack of like Miller Lights, Bud Lights.
Bud Light.
He's so likable, and they were both on mushrooms, and I was like, this is the best conversation. Yeah, he's just such a human.
If you watch him, like, when he's tasting, like, he done the little hot sauce tasting, like, he's just a likable guy.
He's just a nice guy.
Yep.
And people want to, right? I mean, don't get me wrong, dude. My wife.
That handy is awesome.
My daughters said that they thought he was cute. Yeah. And my wife is like, hold up.
Take YouTube. You like, got to take her YouTube
book. Objectively, he looks awful. What are we doing? Like, I like his music. He's very likable. But something about him.
It's the personality.
Which, by the way, made me think my daughters were better people.
And fame. Don't, like, let's not, like, ignore the fact that fame makes like someone, believe, like it's a multiplier of attraction.
I like to
for
believe
sure.
that my...
How many fat, ugly dudes, like, can pull because they're famous? Am I wrong?
Hopefully me. My Instagram, you know.
Yeah. Well, when you meet a girl, you just show her how many followers you got. You're like, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
I like to believe that my daughters like him for his personality and not his fame.
Guaranteed.
He's a nice guy. You seen that meme where that girl in the audience is flashing her chest to him and
he's like,
just like such a gullible, likable,
he was
goofy
so happy.
Dude. Yeah.
That's the best. It's like first time drinking bourbon, you know, 500.
Sure.
Yeah, he's awesome. I love it.
I was asking Jeremy about his bowling just because I was a league bowler for a while.
That's the most depressing thing I've ever heard come out of your mouth.
Yeah, it's probably the least of impressive things.
A league bowler
bowling is awesome.
But it's funny because like when you're talking about that, you're talking about like different kinds of like, well, you think all balls are the same? No, I don't, because I think I got my main ball and I got my spare ball.
Yeah, you got your
you got your
balls that are.
Oh, thank you, man.
That are for dry lanes. You got the ones that are for oily lanes. That's what I'm saying. It's crazy.
Did you just crack your phone?
No.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like bowling.
But he likes it in the fucking, like, the rental shoes and
drunk,
the plastic ball, like the resin balls, I mean, and shit.
You want the hamburger and the concession fries.
I want the $4 picture of Pepsi ribbon. And,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, you can include that, too. Like, yes. Don't get me wrong. We call that Amen juice.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was in the church choir, and I'm less embarrassed by that than you saying
you
I was
shouldn't
a
be.
League bowler.
You shouldn't be.
You know what's funny? The cornhole podcast that I was telling you about.
The cornhole podcast.
They have a beef, an online beef, a Twitter beef with a bowling podcast, because bowlers say that cornhole's not a real sport, and cornholers say that bowling's not a real sport. It's awesome.
This is the lamest thing I've literally ever heard.
Can I say they're both right?
Can I jump in on this beef? Can I jump on this beef? I got some shit to talk to both you idiots. So bowlers, what is this, 1985? I saw the movie Kingpin. It sucked. You suck. Let's move on.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Kingpin does not suck.
It was epic.
Kingpin.
It's a great movie.
Didn't suck, but it haunted me.
Okay.
His landlord... That traded rent for favors.
Yes,
has to this day scarred me.
Well, that's called a good movie. That's called it made an impression on you. So you're welcome.
Solid impression.
That's just called great filmmaking.
Cornholers. I mean, come on, guys. Just call it fucking beer pong and move on. Like, throw some beer pong is basically cornhole but better. All right,
cornhole's better.
Cornhole's better?
Better.
Well, let me ask you this. If you could only bowl or do cornhole, which one would you do?
Cornhole.
Wow.
The reason being...
I just lost all respect for you.
The reason being, cornhole, you can play defense. You can't bowl.
How do you play defense?
Because you put a blocker bag out.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You see, so I throw a bag, then you throw a bag. So if I'm having an off game and
it's more competitive.
It is, because I can now stop your talent. When a bowling, if you're off and you're throwing a good game, all I have to do is sit there and watch you destroy me.
That's the most depressing part of my show in the entire 127 episodes. And I interviewed Pauly Shore, so what does that tell you?
I'm sad now.
You also interviewed Ari Spears, and I think that was more depressing. That was more depressing.
So angry, man.
Yeah, that was more depressing. Can I say I was? I kind of lived vicariously through you. I had depression through you because of how disappointed I was in Ari Spears.
Oh,
just in where he's at in life right now. I'm just like, dude. Like, I don't know, man. I just wanted to feel good. I was like, man, it's freaking Ari Spears, man. Like, I watched him on TV, and to see him be,
Ari Spears was my guy. I loved him,
and to see him hold all that animosity, it's just so disappointing, man.
I haven't seen that episode. I'm going to have to jog back.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I actually loved talking with his colleague, Andy Steinberg. They have a podcast together called Steinberg and Spear, or Spears and Steinberg. And then he's a great comic. I mean, we had a great conversation. But Aries is very mad.
Yeah, he's mad.
The Four Roses is good.
It's actually, so we got into a conversation with this, shout out to Adrian Pringle, my homeboy.
Pringle.
Great guy, moved to California like an idiot. And I was having a conversation with him and Todd Group about taking the leap of faith on this bottle. And I try real hard to exist in a non-specific niche within the bourbon world because people get weird about it, right? So if I tout myself as being an expert and I do a barrel pick and people don't like it, then like, oh, Chris has no palate. Well, that's why I don't do them. And then when I tout myself as anything, like an expert in anything, you just don't do that. Because then, especially when you are representative of something, you become a target, right?
Yes.
And I know Noah.
It's scary.
I know Noah. He made a recommendation. I picked it. It's delicious. It's a great pick. OBSF, you know, it's not good. The most popular recipe, but good bourbon's good bourbon.
Yeah.
And I know Todd's watching this, and Todd, I know you were just trying to help. But he was like, well, if you need any recommendations, just let me know. I'm like, hey, man, I've been doing this longer than you. I think I can safely make a safe bet on some things, you know?
Yeah, fuck you, Todd.
Yeah, fuck you, Todd.
I didn't say
40-year-old.
Shut up. Hey.
he made some comment the other day where he asked his wife if she ever wished she was married to a man whose beard was connected. I thought it was the funniest. Todd's the best, man.
Oh, my God.
He's seriously one of my best. I don't know that he feels the same way, but he's definitely one of my best friends. I love the guy.
Todd came in clutch on the specs pick and was the one to message me out of everybody. So, shout out.
Sorry, Todd. I didn't mean that.
It's so weird. I just said he was my best friend. I take it back.
Probably because you beat him in the weight loss competition.
No, he beat me.
Oh, sorry,
he beat
Todd.
Me by a 3 ounces. He beat me like crazy right. amount. It was the smallest amount of difference. And he was doing it healthily. And I was throwing up. Like, I was doing everything I could at the last minute to lose weight. Because I'm bigger. So I was 240, and he was like 190. And so we weren't doing it by pounds. We were doing it by percentages.
Percentage, yeah. Lost.
And so I had to, I think at one point, the most I lost was 27 pounds or something. And then he lost like 18 and still won. I'm like, that's not the same.
Fucking, yeah, no.
Fucking dick.
I need to lose some weight.
Sorry about the cuss words, Jack. I had chicken before I came too because I knew we were going to. We got one left, huh?
What?
Piece of chicken?
No. Sorry. I ate chicken before I came. You said you ate before you came.
Yes.
Then I'm saying we have one bottle left.
Correct.
That's the 12 only year. One we haven't tasted. Let's do the 12 year real quick, and then we'll wrap it up. Thanks so much for coming on, though, by the way.
Ah, no problem.
That's like when you find a $20 bill in your pocket. Like, I didn't realize we had one more left to do.
I've not tried this 12 year or a 12 year.
You've not tried it?
Mm-mm. I opened it today for you, Chris.
Oh, what a good guy. Yeah, I got to get my tattoo game up. I have zero.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting a posty face tattoo, man. That would have been cool for
the podcast. Yeah, I would have passed. I said, hey, listen, the guy, I love him, but he has not made a lot of good face decisions. Enough to win over my daughters, apparently.
It's the personality.
It's very, very just disconcerting.
What do you think about his orthodontia?
Did you have some teeth issues?
I haven't noticed.
Yours are whiter than me.
I appreciate that. And that's even after all the weed smoking. No, it just goes to show you that boost bleach works. No, I just meant like the gold teeth, the thing.
Oh, listen, I don't mean to bring it back to the guy, but he's a good guy. I'm a fan.
Get him on the show.
I've tried. I've actually talked to his people several times. Every time he comes to town, and the comments have been, or the response has been that Posty's not doing interviews right now. Apparently, a lot of times when he does these shows in town, it's one night, in and out. They get there early on, let's say, Friday.
Set the stage,
do sound check, hit it, make $1 million or however much money you make in a single night for doing those shows, and then hit the ground the next night.
Yeah. He goes through about 14, 12 now, packs of
I'm sure,
light.
And I've only offered to have drinks with the guy. I'm sure if I offered to do mushrooms with him, he may change his mind.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever watch Rogan's interviews with Post Malone?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was epic. It was long, but
people
it was
people hate that guy. Rogan.
Fucking Rogan. In Texas, too.
Ooh.
12 years different.
Look, it's totally definitely different. Older.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's this MGP bubblegum note I really like. I'm getting it on all three. I liked the first one. I think I like the second one better. And I think I'm really enjoying this one.
Yeah, I like this 12-year a lot. But, yeah, I enjoy the 62 over the specs pick as well.
Well, I know how Specs works, and a lot of what they're doing now is they're just ordering flat off the menu. No one's tasting. Just saying, hey, send us five barrels, put your name on them.
I was wondering, because they literally had barrel 507 to 517. Like, yeah. It's like, give me this strand.
Yep.
This row.
That's it.
Let me get it.
Yeah, so and I know that for a fact. It's not speculation. So there's a beautiful brand. Yeah. Oh, God, you're the worst. That's some real...
You really are a dad, aren't you?
I play cornhole.
There's some speculation. I can't even freaking talk. Jesus Christ. There is a brand called Signatory, a Scotch company that does independent casks, and they just send a menu. This is the menu. We've got some 18-year-old this, some 15-year-old that, some 14-year-old this.
And nobody's tasting them. They're just...
They're literally just saying, we'll take this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. And boom, they sell.
Kind of like a Jeff Epstein plane trip, right?
That's crazy.
Absolutely delicious, by the way.
Yeah, this one's good.
And I think we can call it a show. Good seeing you, man. I hope we can sit down
Thank you.
You know, if I ever decide to reach out to Coleon, you got to come on the show with him.
I'm down.
Yeah,
that'd
be
awesome.
So I would love to talk more about guns and booze. But thank you so much for coming. Brandon, thanks for sitting in. And what a delicious afternoon. Cheers.
Cheers.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.